Well, as you just heard, on the anniversary of the return of Uluru to its traditional owners, Cabinet has rejected that proposal for an Indigenous voice to Parliament to be enshrined in the Constitution. One of the leaders behind the push is Cape York Indigenous leader Noel Pearson, and he joins me now. Noel Pearson, welcome.
G'day, Patricia.
How do you feel as one of the architects of this proposal?
I think Malcolm Turnbull has broken the First Nations hearts of this country, expressed in the Uluru Statement from the Heart. He accused John Howard of doing that in 1999, and he has done the same thing in relation to recognition of Indigenous Australians. I've heard Senator Scullion's extraordinary interview with you, with a whole lot of dog whistling about third chambers of Parliament and so on. This is really disappointing. There could have been a way to say no to this without all of the egregious dog whistling that is present in the Prime Minister's press release, and the fact that he has sent Nigel, probably one of the more honest people in his government, out to defend the indefensible. Now, when we go back to 1999, John Howard at least had the grace to put the Republic question to the Australian people for their vote. John Howard had the decency. He was opposed to it, but he put the question to the Australian people at a referendum. And Malcolm Turnbull has not had the decency to put the proposition that Indigenous people have a voice to the Parliament, not a voice in the Parliament, a voice to the Parliament. Why not just put it to the Australian people as we are putting, through a plebiscite, the question about same-sex marriage at this very moment? You know, there's obviously different points of view and all of, on the viability of these ideas and so on. At the end of the day, our Constitution is the gift of the Australian people, so Indigenous Australians had a reasonable expectation that the question would be put to them for their consideration. Instead, the Prime Minister and his cabinet have arrogated to themselves the entire judgment about this fundamental issue of how do we recognise Indigenous Australians.
What do you make then of Nigel Scullion's argument that this would have been rejected at a referendum and taken reconciliation backwards? His argument is essentially that he's saving this from a brutal fail.
Well, in all of the conversations that I've ever had with Nigel Scullion in the years that they've been in government in relation to this question, I have never had the sense that Nigel understood any of the issues, any of the constitutional issues. So I understand that he's been sent out to defend the indefensible. Really, Malcolm Turnbull should have addressed the Australian people in relation to why it is that he refuses to put a question to the Australian people in the way John Howard did in 1999, even though Howard never supported the proposition. So, you know, Nigel's a good guy and a decent human being, but his interview with you was quite frankly so outrageous. You know, he was out there peddling the hoary line about a third chamber of Parliament, the most voiceless and powerless people in the country being set up as some kind of third chamber in Parliament, when all that they're asking is to have some say in relation to the laws and policies that affect them. And, you know, this idea that they have an Indigenous Advisory Council, that they have appointed themselves, the Minister and the Prime Minister have appointed an Advisory Council. You know, a relevant question is, did they consult this Advisory Council in relation to the decision that they made? that they have just made in relation to this fundamental issue of how recognition might take place? Was there a consultation with their own existing Indigenous Advisory Committee? Because I heard in the interview before that Senator Scullion has met with the Advisory Council after they made their decision. So they don't even consult with the body that they've set up themselves as a source of advice. It is a complete farce.
Tony Abbott has also made a Facebook statement, and he says, in my judgment, the government has made the correct decision not to proceed with the establishment of a separate constitutionally entrenched body to represent Indigenous people. He also uses your language, Noel Pearson. He says, Australia has an Indigenous heritage, a British foundation and an immigrant character. This is language that you have used in your arguments, but he says that this should be rejected. He's backed the Prime Minister. What do you make of Tony Abbott here? Because he's often really seen in the Liberal Party as a leading light in terms of Indigenous recognition.
Well, if the truth be told, in 2013, when I first put the idea of a voice to Prime Minister Abbott, he came back to me with the idea that perhaps we ought to be thinking about designated seats in the Senate, akin to the provisions that apply in New Zealand. And I said to Tony, that's an even bigger challenge than this modest idea of the voice. So Tony's claim to be conservative in relation to this question of recognition now is entirely at odds with the Tony that was Prime Minister. That's the first thing I want to say. But can I say that Tony has been lurking in this entire debate. His presence and the fact that the Prime Minister has not had the political capital to lead on this issue is because of Tony. And Tony has pushed Malcolm Turnbull further and further to the right, given him no scope for leadership. And in a sense, it's Tony who's determined the outcome here. I've spoken with Tony many times about the model. He has never expressed a view like he has this afternoon. He has approached this entire issue as not a question of principle, but a question of how is it that I can I will go after Turnbull if he tries to do anything substantive in relation to Indigenous recognition. This is a massive push to the right, and Turnbull, of course, has no political capital. That is the explanation for where we've... You know, Turnbull refers to the radical idea and the third chamber and the Australian people never stepping up to vote for something like this. Those are just excuses. The real reason why we haven't ended up with a reasonable acceptance that this question should be put to the Australian people for their decision, the real reason we're not going down the path of putting the question to a referendum is because of Malcolm Turnbull's fundamental weakness.
So, Noel Pearson, where does that leave you, though? The Referendum Council, says the government, provided a take-it-or-leave-it proposal for the Parliament and the Australian people, and the government says, and I quote, we do not agree. What's next? They want to go back? Nigel Scullion said, yep, we need to go back to the drawing board. Where does that leave advocates, people who've been fighting for this, like you?
Hey, I'm just part of a long history, Patricia. A long, more than 100-year-old history. We stand in the same fight and in the same shoes as all of our predecessors, going back to William Cooper, Charlie Perkins. All of those people in our history of advocacy about this fought for the same thing. Of course, this struggle is never going to go away. But I think the reality is that after today, we will need a new Prime Minister. Indigenous recognition will need a new Prime Minister if it is ever going to come to fruition. And, you know, obviously for those of us who have been long involved in this campaign, we have to hope that day hastens.
Well, Noel Pearson, there is an alternative Prime Minister, Bill Shorten, who supports the referendum council proposals. Labor has adopted them. We have now two sides of politics in disagreement on this, but we also know that we need bipartisanship for this ever to be successful at a referendum. Where does that leave you? Is that new Prime Minister, Bill Shorten? Who is that leader?
Oh, Bill Shorten has been completely principled in relation to this. His bipartisanship has been genuine and sustained. The fact that the government chose to go down the path that they have by breaking the bipartisanship and not coming to a common position with the other side of the aisle is a great shame. But I think for those of us who play a long game here, for those of us who play a long game, the fact of the matter is that this Prime Minister, there is no reconciliation and recognition under this Prime Minister. It's very clear that they have decided to. A negative answer to the constitutional proposal is one thing, but the terms in which the Prime Minister and the Minister for Aboriginal Affairs now seek to sell it, it's completely outrageous. These guys have got the biggest dog whistles they could muster, and they're blowing their lungs out. They are blowing their lungs out with a massive dog whistle. And, when you talk so irresponsibly about third chambers of parliament and so on, when they know very well the nature of the voice that is established is completely a question for the parliament to determine. It will be parliamentary legislation that sets up the function of this body and its powers and so on.
Well, that's one of their criticisms, Noel Pearson, that you didn't provide enough of the architecture of how this body would work. Is that perhaps a fair criticism by the government, that you just didn't give them enough detail?
The Cape York Institute certainly had an 80-page report that we provided to the Referendum Council that was provided to the Prime Minister. I met with the Prime Minister in Brisbane in July, and I saw a very marked-up copy of our report in his hands. This idea that... But, you can't have it both ways. You can't say Parliament should determine the shape of this institution, but then turn around and say, well, how come you haven't designed this body in complete detail? The fact of the matter is that our proposal was that Parliament would legislate the detail of the voice. They know this, and it's been completely disingenuous for them.
So what happens next? Do you maintain this position? Do Indigenous Australians stick with this proposal and campaign for it? Because it looks like the coalition, looks like the conservative side of politics just are not interested in engaging in this proposal.
Well, we will regroup, and the whole question about a constitutionally enshrined institution representative of Indigenous Australians may or may not be viable in the future. That's something we have to consider. Obviously, when such a dishonest, an egregiously dishonest press release, such as the one the Prime Minister has issued this afternoon, is put out there, it is likely to be conservative policy for a long time to come. Malcolm Turnbull has certainly consigned himself prematurely to a footnote in Australian prime ministerial history. That is what he's done today. Consigned himself to a footnote even before he's left the parliament.
Noel Pearson, would you accept a legislated body, a body that's created through legislation and not enshrined in the constitution? That's a proposal that Ken Wyatt has floated.
Well, we'll have to regroup in relation to that. The problem, of course, as Ken knows, is that the last version of a legislative body was axed overnight, and the five various bodies that have existed in Australian history to represent Indigenous people were all scrapped. And the idea of a constitutional enshrined voice was all about giving some security to Indigenous Australians that the representative voices that are established are not displaced by the whim of the government.
Noel Pearson, thank you so much for coming on RN Drive tonight, and I imagine we will keep talking about recognition and reconciliation for many years to come.
Thank you.
It's Noel Pearson, Cape York leader. He was instrumental with many Indigenous Australians through the Uluru Statement of the Heart that recommended this proposal to have an Indigenous body enshrined in the Constitution, a national vote around an Indigenous body. The government has now formally rejected that proposal. Until now, they were still considering it. Cabinet has formally rejected that proposal. And there you heard a pretty emotional, I think, Noel Pearson responding to that proposal. Before that, Nigel Scully, the Indigenous Affairs Minister, was my guest, explaining why the Cabinet has made the decision to dump this proposal and saying, back to the drawing board. What do you make of it all? 0418 226 576.